So we've been talking about this for 6 weeks now, and there are just very apparent things going on in our world and maybe even in our personal lives that do cause this fear. And maybe you've identified some things that cause fear, that cause worry for you personally, or maybe for your neighbors, for your friends, for the world, maybe even to the point of becoming anxious about it. There are things that are keeping you up at night, that things that cause your mind to wander, that keep you even from being present. You can't even be present with what might be going on in life. Does it happen to you after you hear the latest update on the news, or about after you find out about the almost 4,000 school-aged children in Polk County that live without a home, or the death toll from the recent earthquake and tsunami? Or maybe it's caused by a relationship that is not right in your life right now, or caused by your children, maybe worrying for your children right now. Maybe it's finances, loneliness. We've been talking about all these sorts of things over the past few weeks, acknowledging that there are things going on in our world, things going on in our own lives that well up within us, this feeling of fear and worry and anxiety, and then whatever causes and behaviors that brings into our lives. To the point where we even become controlled by it, by that fear. Maybe we become paralyzed because of it, sidetracked and not able to focus on where we were headed or where God might want to be taking us in our lives. But maybe the real point of the sermon series and broaching a subject like that is to say, you know, enough is enough. Fear, you may not have control over me anymore. Worry, I release you from my life. Anxiety, there is no place for you here. So maybe instead of asking if you have identified those things that cause fear and worry and anxiety, I should ask, now that we're coming to the close of this sermon series, have you identified some alternatives? A different way of living, a new response to the uncertainties that are going on in the world and in your life? Because it doesn't do us any good if we go, yeah, that's me. I worry about that. And then do nothing different in our lives. So today, as we close out our time in this sermon series, we look at one more grouping of fear, but also as God's answer for it. Today, we acknowledge this fear of aging, of illness, of dying. It's something that haunts many people. A few weeks back, I was talking about some memory issues that I have, this loss of memory at times. Anyone experience that? So I peeked around the corner to Vicky. Vicky's new on our staff, and she's working with this sort of issue with brain. She's our brain fitness coordinator. And it's something that our church is taking seriously. And so she's going to be working with people who are having early dementia, early onset dementia issues. And it's an activity, and it's a group that they will partake in 3 times a week. And so I peeked my head around her corner kind of jokingly, right, about these lack of memory I was having in that moment. But then she started teaching me all kinds of stuff and showed me the assessment that she's going to do with people and how she kind of determines where people are and what can help them in this early dementia. And I have to tell you, I'm not sure I passed the assessment. Because some of the things that it asks you to do or to repeat back 5 minutes later after you've done 10 other questions, I wasn't really sure that I was remembering everything. And so you have these things that you begin worrying about. And you link that with the fact that my grandmother had Alzheimer's, and she lived with us during that point, and I saw the reality of Alzheimer's. And I can start going off on a tangent real quick. Even though the reality is there probably isn't really an issue. But we're good at self-diagnosing. aren't we? Google lets us put in any symptoms to any illness that we want to, and the next thing you know, we've got it. We've got it. And we start worrying in no time about something that may or may not be true. That's one thing I've come to look square in the eye during this sermon series. So much of what we worry about, what we dwell on, what we lose sleep over, isn't even real. Adam Hamilton writes about this in his book and says this about fear, that it's false events appearing real. Sometimes, though, with aging and illness, it is true. You receive a diagnosis that is in an instant changes your life, whether it changes your ability, experiencing new limitations, changes your schedule, having to fit in more doctor's appointments or time for treatments. Maybe it causes you to need more rest and just more times in your life of not feeling good. I remember the first person I ever met who was diagnosed with ALS, or what you might know to be Lou Gehrig's disease. When I was going to seminary, I worked at a church, at a local church, as an assistant pastor, and part of what I did was visitation. And so I went out and visited with different people in the hospitals and in their homes and nursing homes. So I headed to the nursing home, ready to visit, knowing that the patient that I was going to visit, this person, this church member who I was going to visit, had ALS, but not knowing really at all what that meant and anything about the disease. I found her in her room, wheelchair-bound with a halo sort of thing around her head. I quickly learned that she could not speak well, that not only had she lost the use of her legs, but also lost the use of her verbal abilities and her abilities to communicate in that way. But she had this fixture on her head that allowed her the ability to read, to write, and then to talk for her. And so even though she didn't have total control over her neck, she would tilt her head to the sides, to the left and to the right, and it would move her keyboard in such a way that it would type what she was trying to say. And it would show on the computer, and sometimes if it was working properly, it would even speak it for her. I learned that she had been a writer, and so she was continuing to write. She was in the middle of writing a book at that point in time. It was taking her much longer than it had ever taken her before, as she was not able to type on the keyboard quickly, but one tilt of the head at a time, just writing this book that she felt that she was called to write and to be a part of her life. She was so much fun to visit. She had just such joy, like I wanted to be with her. She could have let her diagnosis control her and her limitations zap the joy right out of her. But instead, she let her calling direct her. She let God sustain her and God provide for her. So instead of fixing her eyes on the disease, she fixed her eyes on Jesus. A similar message has been witnessed to me throughout time as I've had the opportunity to be with people, as other people when they're diagnosed with ALS or cancer, people that go to dialysis several times a week. Every time I go to visit in the hospital, it's like God pouring into me these truths and these promises of who he is as people give witness to their faith right in the midst of their sickness, as they're aging through the illness, some that are short-term, and just going through that pain and that suffering for just a period of time, and for others that know that that is going to cause them to die. This week, I read Stephen's post on Facebook. Stephen, many times, is with us in the service, sitting on the front row, but they, I think, are doing something with street warriors today that caused them to be away from worship. But I was reading his post on Facebook, and he said I was allowed to use it. It says, as many of you know, my mother is battling cancer for the third time around. This is the second time it's been in her brain. She is scheduled to have surgery on her brain Thursday at 11:30. So my mother has put herself in God's hands, so she can feel safe. And to tell you the truth, it makes me feel safer too. So please continue to pray that God just does what God does. End post. He's put some other posts since then about how well his mother is recovering from surgery and how well it was. But it spoke volumes to me as she continues to put her life into God's hands that God can do what God does. It is the scripture in 2 Corinthians 4:16 being lived out in today's world that says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." So when thinking about aging, illness, the fear of death even, we have to ask ourselves where our eyes are fixed. Aging is a part of life, reality, and sometimes a tough reality. As well as seeing and hearing people's faith stories in the midst of aging and illness, I have also heard things like this: the golden years aren't so golden. I mean, aging brings with it some realities our humanity it doesn't like to deal with. From gray hair that some of us cover, to spots on our skin, to wrinkles. But then we can jump to things like pain and more doctor's appointments and a longer list of prescriptions that we have to take daily. And the real possibility of a more long-term illness that may even lead to death. Death earlier than we had anticipated. So do we focus ourselves on those things, letting them control us and defeat us, tear us down? Or do we, in the midst of it all, fix our eyes on Jesus? In the midst of experiencing it, experiencing this joy and this peace and this comfort. And in that, fixing our eyes on the eternal. For this is temporary, but something eternal, you see, is waiting for us. Paul goes on to say in 2 Corinthians, "For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands." Death should not be a worry or a fear, because something we could not imagine, that our human hands could not have prepared, it's ready for us. Jesus, in his last day on earth with his disciples, spoke to them in very intimate and personal ways at that time. And in that time, he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and I prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. For we remember with this truth, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Eternal life." Yes, eternal life. That is the hope for us. His desire, his promise, eternal life. This is not the end. Death is not victorious. And so much thought and preparation and love has been put in that a place has been prepared. A room has been made ready because he loves. So do not be troubled. Instead, Jesus has something else for us. A little further down in chapter 14, he says this: "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." There it is again. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Instead, peace. Revelation 21, there's some writing about heaven, and it says that the tears will be wiped away. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying. But God doesn't want us to wait until then before we experience his goodness. He wants us to experience it now. So he gives to us peace here and now in the midst of aging and illness and even death, in the midst of whatever fear may be lurking. Troubled hearts, Troubled hearts are not his will. Instead, peace is what he gives to us. In his book, Adam Hamilton tells of a man dying at home alone, waiting on the doctor to arrive. Everywhere the doctor went, his dog went with him. So as he entered the man's house, the dog waited outside on the porch, and the patient was talking to the doctor. He said, "Doc, I'm scared. What is it going to be like on the other side?" And at that moment, the doctor's dog began to scratch on the door, whining, hoping to be let in. And the doctor said, "Do you hear my dog scratching at the door? He's never been in your house. He doesn't know anything about the inside of your home. Here's the only thing he knows. His master is on the other side of the door. And if his master is inside, it must be okay. And it's where he wants to be. That's what heaven is like. So do not be troubled. Do not be afraid. The best is yet to come." It all boils down, though, to trust. And what we place our trust in, and having a trusting relationship with God. I know, easier said than done. Trust me, preaching to myself here. But what I'm finding is it is one of two things, and hopefully I'm not oversimplifying, but I find one of two things. We can either trust in the things of the world and the things that worry us and cause fear within us, or we can trust in God. I found as I've been able to hear people's stories, as I've been able to watch them live, I mean really live in the midst of some traumatic situations, how I even personally have experienced it more and more in my life. Trusting God is the better alternative. It is the way to go. It's the only way to live. So fix your eyes on Jesus. Do whatever you need to do to fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. That may mean that you need to reprioritize in your life. You may have to rearrange your schedule. You may have to stop doing some things and instead start some new habits and practices. It may mean little tweaks in life, or it may mean a complete overhaul. What I say to you is, don't let another day go by. Fix your eyes on Jesus, who says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Let's pray together. Lord God, that is your word, and that is the truth. And we accept it today as truth. We accept that what you want in our lives is peace. That you want us to live the joy of the Lord. We also acknowledge, Lord, that we're human. And so there are times where we are afraid, where we spend too much time worrying, where anxiety lurks. But that's not the life we want, Lord. We want life in you. Life with our eyes fixed on Jesus, so that we can live the life that you've called us to live, life abundant, and also, Lord, life eternal. Thank you so much for telling us that you prepared a place for us. Thank you so much for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we will be forgiven, that we can live in life eternal where there's no more sickness. The tears, they're wiped away. No more mourning, no more death. For you call it life, life eternal. And so today we receive these gifts that you have for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Oh, he lives. And the picture beautifully portrays Jesus is alive, and therefore we are alive. If we know who holds the future, there is no reason to live afraid. So go from this place unafraid, living with courage and hope, with your eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Go in his grace, in his peace, and in his love. Amen. Amen.